Hey everybody, welcome to Creepy Club. I'm Rissa.
I'm Heidi.
And we like to talk about true crime and ghosts and aliens and government conspiracies and non-government conspiracies and you name it, we talk about it.
Polydactyl cats.
Yeah, we definitely talk about polydactyl cats quite a bit.
I don't know.
So this is a not safe for work podcast. We like to cuss a lot and talk about not so savory things.
And this episode in particular, well, the beginning, what we're going to talk about is ghosty.
Yes.
But the second part that we're going to talk about, if you are a sensitive person, if murdery things, like if the Jack the Ripper story is way too much for you, you should tap out after the ghost stuff.
Are we talking about Jack the Ripper?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying that's like the best equivalent I can think of because it's pretty gruesome.
All right. So let's move it on to creepy corrections, conclusions, and clarifications. If I can get there, Penny's blocking my hand onto the mouse. All right, here we go. So last week we read you a bunch of ghost stories for Halloween. That was fun. And the only correction, conclusion, and clarification I have is about the history of River de Pere.
River Des Perez.
Yeah. So, we talked about how there was like a water elemental in that building that was super pissed off about the River de Pere being diverted or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Did you find out what those are?
No, but I looked up. I wanted to just look up the history of the River de Pere and see if it had ever actually been a river. And turns out it was a river. And they named it River de Pere. It means River of the Fathers because there was like a priest, a Jesuit priest, like residence near the confluence of the river with the Mississippi.
Okay, so I was onto something with the Mississippi business at least.
Yeah, and it actually went through Forest Park, which is crazy.
What?
Yeah, it used to run through Forest Park, but in 1904, for the preparation of the World's Fair, they disguised it with temporary wooden channels, and then they put it entirely underground. And now it has been, you know, turned into a sewer/storm drain. And it's... Ow! My cat just bit me. Ow!
Penny.
See, she's mean to me, too. So,
I
think she was biting me because it was super boring talking about the River de Pere being a storm drain.
She was like, who gives
now
a shit about a river?
Yeah,
let's talk about cats.
Let's move on. So, I also would like to read a review.
Ooh.
This is a new segment now that we have some reviews. It's going to be a short-lived segment unless you guys manage to give us some more reviews, please. We would be ever so grateful. But this one is by Liza. Dear Liza, she says, love the range of topics and generous / curious perspective. Let me start that over. Love the range of topics and generous / curious perspective. Also perfect for homesick St. Louisan. Great Midwestern charm, both spooky and informative. Inclusive thoughts, not posing science versus the occult, just both at once. A perfect, healthy nuance plus exciting chaos. I like that.
That was very nice.
She's a great writer. Thanks, Liza, dear Liza.
I like that.
If you,
And I like the name.
Yeah, she was an actress I worked with at The Rep, and I liked her a lot, so thank you so much, and if you'd like to leave a review, we would be super grateful, and we'll read it on the podcast. They're from iTunes, by the way.
Oh.
All right.
That's okay.
That's it for the top of the show. Bullshit.
So, I have some future follow-up to do on this topic, but I contacted my old roommate. Remember how I was talking about the apartment?
Oh, yeah.
With the weird basement that we thought maybe had a speakeasy or something in it.
Right.
And that, like, I heard weird stuff, but I never saw anything in particular.
Right.
So she remembers way more than I do by, like, a lot.
Wow.
Yeah. And not only that, but she connected, she started a chat on Facebook of other roommates. So there were five bedrooms in that apartment. It was huge.
Oh, dang.
We called it a loft, but that wasn't really accurate. It wasn't a loft at all. It was just a second story apartment above two stores. I'm not really sure how it earned its name, but
it's a catchy short.
I don't know. The loft. We used to call my friend Stephanie's apartment the Love Shack, so whatever. And there was no, like, it wasn't like a brothel. I don't know. I don't know why we called it that. We just did.
The theater party house in Cape Girardeau was called the House of Love.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows?
Who even knows?
Who even knows? So she remembered a whole ton more than I did, and she connected not just people that we were roommates with back then, which I had the, well, two of them have since passed away.
Oh.
One of them committed suicide.
Oh.
Yeah, that's kind of gruesome. That I knew about both of these. He was a fairly, I wouldn't say famous, but he was a well-known musician here in town. But he obviously struggled with his mental health. And he committed suicide by carbon monoxide poisoning.
Oh.
He pulled a barbecue pit into his apartment bedroom.
Wow.
And let it fill up with carbon monoxide. So it's kind of not great.
Right.
Yeah. That was probably, that's been a long while. It's been a long time. He was like, when he passed away, he was on the cover of the RFT. So it was well enough known.
Oh, right.
So if you're not from St. Louis, the RFT is like our alternative paper, I guess.
Yeah. Like cultural newspaper. Yeah. Not Riverfront Times is what RFT
not hard hitting news necessarily.
Right.
You're not going to get stock reports there.
It's like restaurant reviews and theater stuff. And
yeah, it's mostly
music.
I mean, but they venture into social justice topics and other things true. Too. That's I mean, true. it's not straight arts and culture.
Yeah.
But anyway, and then one of the other roommates, just in the last few years, was on a trip, I believe, with his wife and was taking a picture on some railroad tracks, taking a selfie, and got hit by a train.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's not
great.
Yeah, don't take selfies with trains unless they're not moving.
What exactly transpired? I didn't keep up with him. Two of the five roommates are no longer with us. But then, so there was me, another woman, and then another guy named Tom. So she connected me, her, and Tom. And then people who lived in the same building after us.
Oh, interesting.
So there ended up being quite a few different people in this group chat.
Yeah.
And it turns out that not only did people have stories to tell, but at some point somebody made in a group on Facebook this long thread, and quite a few of them include stories about the ghost at the apartment. So it wasn't just, I will read what she told me, but I'm going to hold off on the other ones because it's a huge list for me to go through. And I think It may actually be enough stories to make a whole episode or close.
Ooh, that'll be fun.
It's quite a bit of stuff. So I sent her a message and I said, hey, I said I was talking to my co-host and we reconnected through Facebook in like 2009 or something.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling her about the old apartment in the basement. And I remember the one corner of the basement being super cold and the speakeasy paintings of the flamingos or something tropical with the indentation in the floor, weird noises in the apartment. Do you have any stories to add? And she says, yes, with a big exclamation point. And so, oh, and I have to add that she is definitely a believer.
Oh, good.
Yes, she used to call herself a witch. I don't know if she still calls herself a witch or not. But Becca, just for context, I think we were all like maybe 18, 19, mm-hmm. something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in that in between. I guess I was taking classes at the community college and working part time. I think that was kind of, everybody was sort of doing something like that.
Right.
Right. So she says, yes, mm-hmm. there was a female ghost in the front stairwell. Remember how we hated going down there? We would never check the mail. And I had totally forgotten about that. We really didn't. We never fucking checked the mail.
Uh-huh.
Because that front stairwell, I was like, hell no, I'm not going down there. And we always went, the parking was in the back and we came through the fire escape.
Right.
And my room was the first door to the exterior door. First uh-huh. door after the exterior door. So it was also the closest for me.
Right.
But there was a mail slot on the front door and the mail would be like a few inches deep. And it was mostly junk mail because we were like 18, 19. What kind of mail are you getting?
Right.
Right? Yeah. We weren't getting. Sometimes she would appear at parties. I remember people would ask, whoa, who's that girl in the stairwell? Often. And it would be her.
God.
The guys who lived there after us said she'd go in the rooms too. The one who had my room said sometimes he'd wake up and she'd be right in his face, like hovering above his head. You ought to try and contact those guys. Oh, I guess they had a band. So there's the band name.
Mm-hmm.
Because they lived there before us, and I bet they met her too. Oh, so she's got people from before us and after us.
Dang. This is a lot of people. Witnessing.
Yeah, a lot of people who saw her. Mm-hmm. She said, I forgot it was, I told this one guy didn't want to use his real name. So I said, that's fine. Do you want to pick a pseudonym or I will? And he said, I don't care. I said, fine, Vader it is. So it was Vader and I forget who else lived there after us. So I made him a pseudonym. I'm trying to remember who told me about her floating in their face who had my old room. She never came in when I lived there, but I'm told she'd go in there when the men lived there. She'd make noises in the hall all the time, too, and rattle the doorknob sometimes. It would sound like someone walking down the hall and no one would be there. Oh, and remember how she'd always turn on the lights in the front hallway.
Mm.
So she must have been someone either before or after me.
Right.
So once we had that conversation, then she started this big group chat.
Yeah.
So I have this chat log to go through, plus this whole long, like, huge list of stories.
Well, that's really exciting.
Yeah, from people who, and somebody referred to the indentation in the basement as the pool.
Yeah.
Which is really overstating its size considerably. But they said they had, like, a weird dream about it where it was fully tiled, like a pool.
Oh.
Like a real pool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, and then, so they're, there's many, many, many stories about the ghost in the house. And I also forgot that the guy who was killed by the train, he had a rat, a pet rat,
mm-hmm.
that he would just let loose in the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, dude, your rat's cool, but can you not let it just, like, be free range in the apartment, it's a little startling.
Right.
I'd be sitting on the couch, chilling, and a rat would show up. And I like the rat. I just don't like being surprised by a rat.
Right.
And one of the dudes, being genius teenagers, started giving it Old English 800.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I think that rat died from alcohol poisoning.
Yeah, I bet.
Or withdrawal or something along those lines. I know. Poor little Ratty.
Yeah. Is that his name, Ratty?
I don't remember what the rat's name was. But one of the roommates was like, I still feel kind of bad about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I always felt like, whose genius idea was that? I'm like, it definitely was not my idea. Mm-hmm. It wasn't my idea for the rat to just be like chilling, roaming around the house
mm-hmm.
or roaming around the apartment for start. I was like, he's just going to shit everywhere, dude.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's not cool.
Do they shit like rabbits, like little pellets?
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's not hard to clean up, but they also like pee all the time.
Yeah.
There's a reason people keep them in cages.
Right.
And don't, I mean, supervised play is one thing. Just letting the rat free range in the gigantic apartment. I mean, it's huge. And I had also forgotten there was on one side below the apartment was a like old lady hair salon.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side was a lawyer's office.
Right. You talked about the lawyer.
Yeah.
On that episode.
And so I couldn't remember what kind of lawyer he was. So I was like, the place was all I could ever think was like fire hazard.
Right.
It was so hoardery. And one of the guys remembered that he was an ambulance chaser. So I don't think he ever had clients in his office.
Right.
And he also had a much younger girlfriend that would stay with him sometimes.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I was like, who the hell would stay in that? I mean, that thing was foul.
Yeah.
It was interesting. Anyway, so I'm not prepared to talk about it today, but they all have my memory's garbage. And I really don't think that, I do remember hearing stuff. And every once in a while, like, I would go set something on a table, go to my room, come back, and it would be somewhere else.
Yeah.
But I just always figured somebody moved it because somebody always had a friend over or, you know, there was just a lot of people in and out of the house.
Yeah.
But once they started talking about it, I was like, there was something with the phone ringing too, because at that time we had a landline,
mm-hmm.
like a corded landline.
Oh my God.
I know. It was so long
ago.
I know. It's like 1,000 years ago. And the corded landline was on the other side of the wall of the front stairwell. But there was something weird with the phone, too, and I wish my memory wasn't so shitty because I can't remember exactly what it was. So stay tuned for creepy ghost stories that Heidi doesn't remember, but other people do.
Mm-hmm.
But it was affirming to know that I did not make up the weird indentation in the floor.
Right.
Because for a second I was like, is that right?
Right, yeah.
But several other people mentioned it, so I was correct. Apparently, did not make that one up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I found out the building was built in, like, 1921 or 22, something like that.
Huh.
So it was built during Prohibition.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, what are we talking about today?
This is the part of the story today where if things like Jack the Ripper are too much, you should tap out because it gets kind of gross.
Okay. So, I'm tapped in.
Okay. I'd like to thank Libby for this topic.
Thank you, Libby.
Thanks, Libby, who we were having a conversation today and she said, I have several bones in my apartment, including human. And I was like,
oh,
I have some questions. And she's like, well, it's like cremains is the human part.
Right.
I was like, okay, that's acceptable. But then she has a piece of a dead cat's tail that was a pet. And I said, is it preserved in any way? And she said, no, do you think it should be? I said, well,
is it just like the white bone part?
I'm thinking probably by now, because she said it's a couple years old.
Yeah.
And she also has...
Did she just like cut it off or something? What's going on?
I got distracted by her next comment.
All right.
I will have to follow up with her. I'll talk to her and I'll let you know.
All right. Yeah. What was her next comment?
She also has her IUD.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. She had it. She had it removed. She has like two little hands holding it, which I think is amazing.
Yeah.
So I told her she needs to make sure to listen to the limbs episode, because I was telling her how my husband had part of his foot amputated and I'm still mad that they wouldn't let me have the bones.
Yeah.
She's like, that's total bullshit. I'm like, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Marital property. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Maybe we need to start a campaign like called Give Our Bones Back.
Yeah. Or your IUD. Or your... Well, because if you go to the dentist and you get a tooth pulled, if you ask, they'll let you keep it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, nuts.
I thought the Hubs was going to have to get a tooth pulled this last week. It turned out to be a root canal. Well, yeah. It's like good news, bad news. Good news is he gets to keep his tooth. Bad news is root canals are really flipping expensive, because what comes after the root canal is a crown. So if you get your teeth pulled, you can definitely have them if you want them.
Well, now you tell me. I don't know if... I mean, maybe I when I get older.
I regret not keeping my wisdom teeth. They were real gnarly looking.
You know what we should get into?
Is murder. Thank you, Libby, for your suggestion and for keeping weird stuff. We're going to talk today about the monster of Florence.
The monster of Florence?
The monster of Florence, like Italy.
Oh.
Okay, so what I didn't find in these articles that Libby told me that I have yet to be able to verify, so it'll be in the corrections if she's wrong, but she's a really smart lady and I believe her.
Okay.
Okay. So in Italy, and this part I do know to be true, in Italy and in Spain and lots of parts of Europe, because I have friends who live on the other side of that big ocean, is that multi-generational households are much more common than they are here.
Oh, okay. So like living with your parents and grandparents.
Because the cost of real estate is so outrageously high.
Gotcha.
Which means that if you want to get jiggy with it, with your lover, you're probably going to have to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
So the monster of Florence, the victims were young lovers who were having sex in cars.
Sort of like a lover's lane situation.
Right, but not necessarily in a specific location. They were in multiple locations.
Yeah.
And so this is the part that I couldn't verify my research yet, but... because it was so common, it brought all the voyeurs to the yard. So there were a lot of people who would kind of go looking for people having sex in cars and taking pictures of them.
Oh.
And peeping on them.
Mm.
And I did find a reference that alludes to that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so... the monster of Florence is compared to Jack the Ripper in terms of horror, like the grossness of it. And parts of the movie The Silence of the Lamb were based off of this particular serial killer.
Huh.
There's also a theory that there may actually be more than one, that it may have been up to three people acting together. I think the general consensus, he's been pursued over many, many years by many, many people, and I think the overall consensus is that it was probably one person, but But there are a handful of people who theorize that it could be three. And there's been multiple arrests that turned out to be incorrect. And people who, like, spent significant amounts of time in jail who were innocent.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this guy is still...
He is still on the loose, as far as we know.
And when... So what's the timeline on this bad boy?
I'm glad you asked, because that's what I was just going to tell you. So it was a total of 8 double murders that took place between 1968 and 1965.
Okay, so this guy could still be around.
Oh, for sure. Because say he was...
Or lady. We don't want to be exclusive.
I mean, that would be uncommon. But it's possible.
I'm just kidding.
So, I mean, say he was 20 years old.
Yeah.
In 1968.
Right.
He'd be older. He'd be in his 70s.
I'm curious to know what the average age of serial killers are when they're active. Are they usually, like, pretty young?
I think they typically start younger, but, you know, a lot of them don't get caught. So that means that they could
continue. Harsh reality.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, think about that documentary we watched with all the trucker killers.
Yeah.
Yeah. The highway killers. What was that? Highway 70 or Highway 44?
It was all the highways.
It was. Well, but in particular, the east-west highway. I think it's 70.
Mm-hmm.
The one that goes through Tulsa, I think. Oh, crap. I don't know. The one that goes, it's like the main route from the East Coast to the West Coast and back.
Mm-hmm.
That was one major one. And then I think down south, I dated a guy who was a Cajun, and he said anything north of the I-9 was Yankee, which is like the most southern highway in the U.S. Anyway, so... Yankee darling. There's always a darling on it. I think I mostly dated him because of his accent.
Right.
He wasn't really that smart.
Yeah. Well.
And he told, you know how every region has their, I don't know, cultural jokes and sayings and things?
Yeah.
He used to tell Boudreaux and Thibodeau jokes, but I didn't know what they meant.
Uh-huh.
And I have since learned that they're not very nice jokes.
Okay.
It's like, it's basically making fun of Cajuns.
Uh-huh.
Like, they're the dumbasses of the Cajun world, is Boudreaux and Thibodeau.
Right.
But if you're from, like, southern Louisiana, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
I guess they'd be Hoosier jokes for here.
Right. It's ringing a bell because I remember hearing about some sort of regional thing. I'll probably look it up. But it was, like, jokes... where they've named the characters, like, I don't know, Bill and Ted. I don't know. That's not Bill and Ted.
Did they go on an excellent adventure?
But you know what I mean? It was like, I don't know. I have to.
It was a cultural reference to that region.
Yeah, and so that's what that reminded me of.
Yeah, I don't know if Boudreaux and Thibodeau are just really common surnames or what the deal is.
Right.
But it was, he thought they were hilarious. I... did not get the joke. I don't get a lot of jokes. I think a lot of jokes aren't funny, but I really didn't get those because I had no cultural reference.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, are these like, are they like racist or classist? Or so I feel like there's something probably terribly wrong with these jokes.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know if someone can explain them to me because I don't even know how you spell that.
Right.
I don't know I mean, Cajun's like English and French mashup.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the murders happened in the province of Florence.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. This article says law enforcement conducted several investigations into the cases over the course of several years. The courts reached the conclusion that the murders were not committed by a single person, but by a group of at least 4 perpetrators were convicted and later became known as the Snacks Companions, which is really dumb. I'm not sure why. Which is Compagni di Merende in really horrible Italian. The victims were young couples parked or camped in countryside areas in the vicinity of Florence during new moons.
Whoa.
Very specific.
Yeah.
The murderers used multiple weapons, including a 22 caliber gun and knife, and in some cases...
22 caliber gun and knife?
Gun. And pause. And knife. They weren't like a two-in-one.
A gun that shoots knives.
Yeah, it wasn't like an infomercial item. And in some cases, excised sex organs from the bodies of the female victims, which appeared to be the motive of the crimes. Okay, so
yucky.
This particular, so that's from Wikipedia, which conflicts with other articles that I looked at that said that no, it's just one person.
Right.
So, I mean, it's Wikipedia. Who the hell knows?
Right.
Anyway, so let's talk about the victims for a second.
Okay.
Our poor little lovers. They were all so young.
Yeah.
I think the oldest one in here is like 32.
Wow.
So, oh man, why? Okay, I grew up with Italians. You'd think I'd be able to say Italian names, but I'm sure I'm going to butcher the hell out of it. Okay, Antonio Lo Bianco, 29, a mason worker, and Barbara, I'm guessing Loci, 32, homemaker, lovers, shot to death with a 22 Beretta in Signa, a small town to the west of Florence. While Loci's son, Nataliano Mele, 6, lay asleep in the back of the car.
Oh my God.
Now here's where it gets really weird.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't talk about it in this article, but in a different article, they say that whoever killed Antonio and Barbara realized the little boy was in the car and carried him, singing to him, to safety to a nearby house and left him.
That is really weird.
So he didn't harm him at all.
Wow.
So I wonder, it just makes me wonder, like, what did he see? He obviously had some significant distinction between children and adults.
Yeah.
It was, like, what's the psychopathy behind that? Like, the...
Is it, like, maybe it's that complex that some serial killers have that where they're like, I'm saving you from your sin or whatever.
Yeah, but
children don't, you know, children don't have sin yet. So they are innocent.
Although, maybe. I mean, I'm assuming if they're in Italy, the bulk of them would have been Catholic. But by 8, you would have had First Communion, so you would have been absolved of your sin.
Mm.
Because if you're... Here we go with all the Catholic
rules.
Here's
our segment. Catholic talk.
Here we go. Catholic talk with Heidi. So if I remember right, if you're Catholic and you haven't been baptized and you die, then you go to the guff.
The guff?
The guff. And I don't remember.
Never heard of this.
Okay, we're going to pause and look it up.
I thought it was purgatory.
No, that's different. That's okay. A different kind of thing.
All right.
Okay. So I had to do a little Googling. My Catholic training's rusty. So the guff is where all unborn souls live. I got that mixed up. There's just a lot of words, man.
Oh, unborn souls. Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. So unborn souls. It used to be, apparently since 1992, they've made a little switcheroo. Huh. So, it used to be that the belief was if you were unbaptized, you would go to limbo,
mm-hmm.
which would be
a fun party game.
Well, kind of. This says neither merit the, basically that They wouldn't achieve salvation, but they wouldn't be guilty of any personal sin because the other babies.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
But then after the Catechism of the Catholic Church in 1992, the theory of limbo is not mentioned. So I guess we got over that. And now it's generally believed that the baby is going to ascend to heaven anyway.
Okay.
So I'm not really clear on the importance of baptism now. Post-1992.
Well.
But anyway, the Guff is the repository of the unborn souls. So there you go.
Okay.
Anyway, why was I talking about the Guff?
Oh,
the little boy.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Ugh.
Jeez.
Ooh, rabbit hole. Those rabbit holes get twisty sometimes.
Right.
Yeah. So supposedly he was singing and carried him to safety. So yeah, he probably believed that he was very innocent.
Right. It seems so. It's difficult for me to think that he has no problem murdering two adults.
Like, what's the difference?
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't murder anybody, so it's kind of
right.
hard to say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I mean.
I can't really be like, well, I mean, I could definitely murder this kind of person, but not that kind of person. The idea is a little much.
Right.
Either way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the first couple.
Mm-hmm.
Then, September 1974, Pascal Gentilcore. It was a barman, and Stefania Patini, an accountant. They were 19 and 18.
Mm-hmm.
Shot to death and stabbed. Mm. In a Fiat. It's a really tiny car to have sex in.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
So they were apparently at a disco.
And of course they were.
I mean, why wouldn't you be?
Right.
Called Teen Club.
What should we call this club?
I don't know. What should we call it? Let's call it Teen Club.
Teen Club.
That's like when you buy the generic and it says soda. Yeah. Or butter.
Cola flavored beverage.
Mm-hmm. I just had some diet generic soda. It was not bad. Anyway. So
that's our soda review for the podcast.
Yeah, I would tell you the name of it, but I have no fucking idea because it's super generic. Anyway, poor Stefania, her corpse, some kind of terribleness happened with a grapevine stalk. And she.
What?
Yeah. It just says she was violated.
Oh my God.
Do you think that means penetrated?
Yeah.
I don't really get it.
Yeah.
I don't want to see it either.
No.
And she was disfigured. 97 stab wounds.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of overkill.
Yeah.
Pretty sure you're dead after the first, like,
and didn't,
37.
Didn't he shoot her first?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This was her corpse.
Oh my, oh.
Her corpse was violated.
She was already dead.
She was dead. Definitely dead. And he violated her with a grapevine.
Stabbed her. 97.
Grapevine stalk.
Yeah.
I didn't know they grew on. Did I know that? I'm trying to. I mean, been to a vineyard before.
So they look like little trees when they come out of the ground. And then they have these like big huge vine that I guess you would call the stalk that kind of wraps around that like would think.
Maybe it would be more the
part that comes out of the ground.
Ugh, that's the whole. The whole thing's like wicked and disgusting. So it doesn't even matter.
Let's move on from that detail.
I mean, it matters, but that's just fucking whole. Ugh.
Right.
And Stefania Pettini, she had mentioned earlier in the evening to a friend of hers that she thought she had been followed. Like, not the same day, but like recently.
Right.
That so she had noticed,
like, casing. Yeah.
That someone strange had been following her.
Right.
Oh, and the knife they think was a scuba knife.
Which what?
I guess would be for very large fish.
Oh, like kind of like spear fishing, but with a knife?
I don't know about all that, but I mean, you've seen knives to clean fish before, right?
Yeah.
I would think a scuba knife would be, maybe it's more, there's some mean ass fish in the ocean.
Yeah.
That you don't want to, the ocean is scary.
It is.
We could do an episode on the ocean. The ocean is scary as shit.
Fun fact, I was going to do, before I did Ouija, I was thinking about doing sea monsters. I can do that in another.
Okay.
That's probably what I'll do next, actually, because I have a bunch of the research already done.
It gives me the creeps that we don't know how deep it is.
I know.
Like, for real.
Yeah, and, like, even the fish that we have discovered are horrifying enough. But think about all of the things we haven't
seen. Yeah, like, there's
seen.
That one weird fish that has its own light bulb.
Yep.
It's got, like, that little antenna
angler
with the
fish.
Light. Yeah.
Have you ever seen a goblin shark?
No, but I've
those
seen...
Those are real fucked up looking.
There's some really weird shit in the ocean. That's all I can say.
Mm-hmm.
My brother is a deep sea fisherman. He's done sport fisherman contests.
Uh-huh.
He is 6'1", and like as in feet.
Yeah.
I do not come from tiny people, which is...
as in feet? Like, I don't know what else.
Not inches.
Sorry, okay.
Not inches. Which is maybe why my giant husband doesn't freak me out, because I'm used to big people. Which he told me on the way out the door, I would like you to retract all the times that you accused me of being Momo.
What? Well, that's, I mean.
I was like, okay, well, maybe you're not Missouri Momo.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're Kansas Momo. He said it's impossible for him to be Missouri Momo based on the size of his foot.
Okay.
He does make a really good point there, because Momo's foot was rather small, mm-hmm. according to the information.
Yeah, it was like an average sized foot.
Yeah, he's like, and I don't think I'd get that disgusting if you left me out in the woods that long. I was like, anybody would get disgusting. He's like, but I can't grow a beard. I'm like, yeah, but the hair you could grow would be pretty gross if we left you out there long enough.
Yeah.
I've seen him when he's like been sick and not showered for a few days. He can get ripe.
Mm-hmm.
So can I.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we leave him out there for a few months. Anyway, I still think maybe not Missouri Momo, perhaps Kansas Momo.
Okay.
Okay.
That
anyway.
Would be Canmo.
Canmo?
Yeah.
Mo Can?
Monster Kansas?
Because
Momo is Missouri Monster, so it'd be...
Oh.
Canmo.
Canmo. All right. This new nickname, I'm gonna have to give up Stumpy. being the super sensitive wife that I am.
Oh yeah.
What do you call your husband with a partially amputated foot? Stumpy. Mm-hmm. Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't I? Okay. So couple number three.
Heidi used to have a cat named Mr. Wobbles, and he had Sarah Beller.
As in your cerebellum in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Hyperplasia. Which meant...
He walked he was drunk.
A movement disorder.
Right.
That caused a tremor of the head.
Mm-hmm.
That was pronounced.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite a sight.
Mm-hmm.
And his coordination was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
He fell down a lot. But that dude could go up and down stairs. He got up and down off the bed every single night because he liked to be. We had a whole thing going on. He got up there. He'd get under the covers. He'd turn around and hold him like a teddy bear. It was a whole thing.
Aww.
But I think I had him for about 6 months before he finally got brave and figured out the stairs.
Well, and I think that that's when I knew that we were going to be friends, is when you told me that that cat's name was Mr. Waffles.
But it wasn't me being an asshole. He came with that name, which I suppose I could have, but it didn't seem mean at the time.
No, I mean, don't think it's mean. It's just like, you know, it's just frank. Like,
yeah, I was just stating the obvious.
Yeah.
That poor cat had so many head injuries. I used to think, like, should I make him a tiny helmet? And sometimes when his head would wobble a lot, I would hold it for him because I was like, that's got to be annoying.
Yeah.
A wonderful kitty cat. But if reincarnation is a real thing, Mr. Wobbles had the most intense human-like stares I've ever seen from an animal. And he was a nosy fucker.
Mm-hmm.
He was always into... He painted the entire half of his body twice.
When you're like painting your house?
Yes. Because I call him Jefe, which is boss in Spanish. Because he'd come wobbling on up to go see what was going on in the paint tray and then fucking fall in it twice. He was green and blue, I think. It's not as easy to get paint off a cat as you think it might be.
No.
It was really, he was not a fan.
Especially a wobbly cat.
He did not enjoy the process.
Right.
And he would stretch out like Superman and like flap his arm. It was terrible. It was terrible. Anyway. Okay. So murder. Couple number three. And this is not like newlywed style. This is not a couples game you want to play. So. June 6, 1981, Giovanni Foggi, warehouseman. He was 30 years old. Carmelo.
Is that his last name? Warehouseman?
No, he was a warehouse. He worked in a warehouse.
It's
no,
just the way you say it.
Foggi. I guess Foggi. F-O-G-G-I. Foggi. Giovanni Foggi. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just the way you said warehouseman. It sounded warehouseman. Like a last name.
It's hard to drop my Italian accent so fast. and Carmela DiNuccio, who was some kind of clerk. They were 30 and 21, engaged, shot to death and stabbed near Sandici, where they both lived. DiNuccio's body was pulled out of the car and the killer, yikes, cut out her pubic area with a notch knife.
Oh.
He, like, for real, he cut her punani off her body.
Oh, my God.
What are you going to do with that? I don't even want to know. That's a really weird souvenir.
Yes.
Be like, here's my collection of labias.
God. Yeah, I don't like that at all.
No, it says pubic area, so I'm assuming... The visible parts.
So I'm thinking like...
I mean, because your vagina's not the outside parts.
Right. I mean, not that I kind of pictured like the bush part.
Well, that's... I was kind of thinking of like...
The labia part.
Yeah, like the labia majora.
Let's not discuss this.
Oh, so remember when I said that there were voyeurs that Libby had told me about, like people taking pictures? And she was saying, too, that sometimes people were taking pictures because they were going to blackmail people with them.
Wow.
Yeah. Devious little shits.
Mm-hmm.
One of these devious little shits was Enzo Spalletti.
Mm-hmm.
He was a paramedic, and he went around running his mouth about the murder before the corpses were even found.
What?
Yeah, not smart, Enzo. Guess who spent 3 months in jail?
Oh, so these guys were going around and taking pictures of the bodies?
So there were people who were taking pictures of the lovers getting it on.
Right.
In hopes, this is what Libby told me, that they were taking pictures of lovers as blackmail.
Right.
Because, you know, no premarital. And maybe, you know, these were all fairly young. And that later on, there's a boy-boy situation going on.
Mm-hmm.
Two young men.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the voyeurs were maybe hoping to cash in on the lover situation.
Right.
But so Enzo Spalletti, which almost looks like spaghetti. Enzo Spalletti, who is a paramedic, who is like a really gross voyeur, had taken pictures of them before their corpses were found. So it doesn't say if he took pictures of them while they were actually getting it on, or if he took pictures of them after they were dead.
Well, then
doesn't really specify.
What did he go to jail for?
Murder. Because he was telling people he had seen them having sex in the car, or that he saw their bodies in the car. So he got arrested for murder and spent 3 months in jail until the real murderer killed again. And they were like, oops, you must not be the right person.
Yeah.
Guess we're going to go ahead and let you go.
Huh.
So the Giovanni, so Foggi and Denuccio, that was in June, then in October. So I guess Enzo Spalletti, from like June to October, somewhere in there,
mm-hmm.
spent a little time behind bars.
I'm not upset about that.
I'm fine with it. I mean, either way, if he was just being a perv taking pictures, or right. if he was really being gross, taking pictures of dead bodies and then running his mouth.
Yeah.
I don't know. Either way, I think it's fine. I think he 3 months.
Yeah, no big deal.
He kind of got off easy, if you ask me.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about Italian prisons.
Right.
Maybe they're probably itchy. Lots of wool. A lot of wool comes from Italy.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Probably like all wool jumpsuits. Yeah. Okay. So October 23rd, 1981, Stefano Baldi and Susanna Cambi. It says she was a telephonist and he was a workman.
A telephonist? Never heard of that before.
I mean, I guess that's, you're an operator.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
That's what I would assume.
Anyway, they were engaged
and
shot and stabbed.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady's pubic area was cut out just like Denuccio's.
So it's just these two women so far that have had their pubic area cut off?
So far.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone has been shot and stabbed. And has it been, like, overkill? Like,
I'm nodding. You can't see me nodding. Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. And it's been overkill every time?
Oh, yeah. He went way overboard. Right,
stabbing after the person was already dead.
Yeah, because he had this 22. It's
his, like, MO. Yeah.
What was it? A 22? I barely know.
Beretta.
Anything about guns. Said. 22 caliber gun.
Mm-hmm.
I know what a 22 caliber rifle is.
A Beretta is a little tiny gun.
I don't know what a 22 caliber gun is. I know what 22 bullets look like because in summer camp, they taught us to shoot 22 rifles, which now in reflection seems like a really weird thing to do at camp.
Yeah, I never learned how to shoot a gun at camp.
I feel like that's maybe not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
It was like horseback riding, water skiing, shoot the 22s. I mean, we were laying down on mattresses shooting targets. Just not really sure what the point of it was.
Mm-hmm.
Like why they felt like they needed to include that in their curriculum.
Hmm.
I lived in South St. Louis. When was I going to need that skill?
That's true.
Yeah. Anyway, so, okay, it was a different time.
Right.
Yeah. So Cambi, the lady's mother, the morning after got a phone call from an anonymous person saying he wanted to talk to her about her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And then she also told her mom that she thought that someone tried to chase her in her car a few days before the murder. So whoever this was doing some stalking
mm-hmm.
prior to the actual murder.
Mm-hmm. Of the mother and the daughter, presumably.
I guess he would just have to be stalking the daughter. I mean, if she lived at home.
Oh, wait, the daughter said that she was being chased.
The daughter told the mom that somebody chased her.
I thought the mom said that.
No.
Okay.
Sorry, maybe I said that in a confusing way.
So this anonymous person is probably the monster, right?
I think presumably, yes.
Okay.
So let's see. Not quite a year goes by, and Paolo Minardi and Antonella Migliorini, 22 and 20, mechanic and dressmaker, engaged due to be married.
And a dressmaker.
Oh. Mm. Shot to death in their car.
Yeah.
This time, no mutilation. Minardi, though seriously injured, was still alive when found.
Oh.
But she did not know, not so much with the surviving.
Right. Maybe they got interrupted.
Well, they think the killer drove the car a few meters to try and hide it in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And that something happened. He, like, lost control of the vehicle.
Uh-huh.
Something weird happened.
Yeah.
So, but she didn't, she died in the hospital. Poor Antonella.
Yeah.
Then, about a year later, Wilhelm Friedrich Horstmeier and Jens U. Rusch, German,
mm-hmm.
both seniors at Faculty of Fine Arts in Osnabrück. So they were German tourists traveling to celebrate a scholarship Meyer had just won.
Oh.
Shot to get to death in a Volkswagen Samba bus. Oh, those are really cool, the VW buses.
Are they?
Mm-hmm. They think that the killer mistook Rusch's long blonde hair. Like, thought that Rusch was a female.
Mm-hmm.
And was pissed off about it because they found a gay porn magazine, like, torn up all around the crime scene.
Oh.
Yeah. So he was not a very big guy and had long blonde hair.
Mm-hmm.
And then the monster was kind of pissed off about it.
Right.
Yeah. About a year later, Claudio Stefanacci and Pia Gilda Rotini, law student, cheerleader, 21 and 19, sweethearts, shot and stabbed in another Fiat, a Fiat Panda. Can't say I've ever heard of that.
That sounds like a really adorable car.
I know. It's got a hot link. We're going to find out.
I'm going to look
it up. It's pretty cute.
Oh, yeah, it kind of looks like my car.
Yeah. He removed the girl's pubic area and her left breast.
Oh, geez. Escalating.
Yeah.
Slightly.
And there were reports that a strange man had been following them in an ice cream parlor a few hours before the murder.
Hmm.
And a close friend of the woman remarked later that Rotini had told her that some unpleasant man had been bothering her at the bar she worked at.
Hmm.
So it seems like he's definitely spending some time choosing his victims.
Yeah.
That it's not really so much about the places as it is about the people.
Well, and I...
And he's just waiting for an opportunity.
And it seems like there's a significant amount of time between each murder.
Yeah, they're all about a year apart.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, July 29th, 1984, and then the next one's September 7th, 1985.
Yeah.
It was like almost exactly a year.
Mm-hmm.
So the last pair is Jean Michael. Oh. Kravichvili, maybe. And Nadine Morit. I don't know. Where's an Italian when you need them? Shit.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, 25 and 36. They were camping.
Mm-hmm.
Morit. We're going to call her Nadine. Nadine was shot and stabbed to death while sleeping in their small tent.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jean, with the impossible last name, was killed a short distance away while trying to escape. Oh, and I think that Jean is the one who used to be like a distance runner or something. And they think that's why he got as far as he did.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to, I'll flip over to a different article in a second.
Mm-hmm.
Nadine's corpse was mutilated.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and they were not from Italy.
Huh.
So it took a minute for anyone to realize that they were missing.
Oh.
So there wasn't like it because they were traveling.
Oh, right. Okay.
No cell phones in 1985, no texting, no email.
Right.
Right. People disappear for days on vacation. You didn't think a thing about it.
Right.
And the killer sent a taunting note along with a piece of her breast.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I believe it was the nipple.
Oh.
To the state prosecutor, stating that a murder had taken place and then issuing a challenge to the authorities to, like, why don't you go find them?
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
So he needed credit for it. That reminds me.
Which I think is fairly. That's like, what the BTK killer.
Yeah.
He would have never been caught if he didn't engage.
Right.
Directly.
Mm-hmm.
But he could not stand that he was not getting recognition.
Right.
He was like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So, and the person. Ooh. The person that found them was, like, picking mushrooms in the woods.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is kind of my worst nightmare, given as much hiking as I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be every once in a while. Well, there was that one time I was hiking with Wolfie and come running at me with a giant bone.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, God.
Please, not today.
Please don't be. And I thought, okay, that could be a small human.
Yeah.
Or, like, a dog, maybe. We're going to go back and look and see if there's more, just mm-hmm. in case, because that's the responsible thing to do,
mm-hmm.
to make sure that there's not a bunch more.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the only one.
Okay.
And then upon closer inspection, I was like, okay, that's definitely not a human bone.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent a picture to a few other people just to make sure.
Right.
Yeah. Because I was like, is this a crime scene?
Yeah.
Because you know what? That dog's got a good nose. He finds all the turtles.
Right.
Sorry, turtles.
Yeah.
There's no harm done. They're all returned to their rightful hiding places.
Mm-hmm.
He just likes to show them to me. That's all.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's the monster of Florence's. Obviously, that kind of freaked people out.
Right.
Just a smidge.
Yeah.
And he always used the same 22 caliber Beretta handgun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's like a really small gun. Like, I think Berettas were marketed towards women.
Oh, is that like one of those like little guys you can stick in your pocket?
I think so. About? Yeah, I think so.
And there was something about a defective firing pin that caused a unique mark on the bullet casings. So they knew that for sure that it was all coming from the same gun.
Oh.
Right? So they were all Winchester Series H. And the investigators were able to figure out they all came from the same box.
Mm-hmm.
So it was same gun, same brand of bullets and like same, maybe they have lot numbers on them or something.
Right.
So he, they think the ones who weren't mutilated, the only reason it didn't happen was because he was interrupted by people who were like passing by or
right.
not because he was like working up to it anyway.
Yeah.
Just that in any way, just that he didn't have an opportunity.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. He was a real son of a bitch. So this article talks about how there was a theory that there could have been more than one, a gang of Sardinians living in the Florence area. So there was, let's see. I don't think that one. Oh, one of them they thought might be like a, one of the women was either divorced or married, and it was her lover, and they thought it might be the husband, like a revenge killing.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah. The FBI profiled him at one time, the Monster of Florence. There was an unofficial request made, but they, and all they kind of came up with that was that he was a sexually impotent man, aged 40 to 45, who lived alone or with an elderly relative, who possessed a pathological hatred of women. I think that's very clear, based on his behavior.
That one makes sense, yeah. I'm like, I wonder how they figure this stuff out, but that one definitely makes sense.
Well, I would think, I mean, if he lived alone, he's not having to account for his time.
Yeah.
Or if he has an elderly relative,
right,
they're maybe not going to be asking a lot of questions, mm-hmm. right?
That makes sense.
They also theorize that he probably, because he used the same gun and bullets for all his murders, that he probably also wore the same clothes and accessories while committing the crime. Crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was suspected he may have cannibalized some of the parts he took as a means of fully possessing his victims. So maybe not just souvenirs, but like appetizers.
Snacks.
Ugh. Oh, maybe that's why they were the snack gang. Ew, gross. Oh, and then this says, the fact that the monster would ambush his victims, firing multiple rounds into their cars, indicated he lacked confidence in his abilities to control the victims while they were alive.
Okay.
So, that's why they think there was so much overkill.
Right.
So he would basically shoot up the entire car.
Mm-hmm.
And then once he was certain that they were dead, or he thought they were dead, then he would do these like weird mutilations.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. And then there was the kid he took to safety. There's a brief theory that somehow maybe Satanism was involved, which doesn't that happen with every serial killer case? They're like, it's got to be Satanism.
Well, and isn't that right around the Satanic Panic time?
Probably.
Yeah. Or at one of the Satanic Panic times. That was like,
probably in the, probably a little early for that.
Yeah.
I think that was more like late 80s, early 90s. When, well, Aleister Crowley's Satanic Bible was
popular. There's that. I was thinking more about like the Manson murders and stuff like that.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, that probably would have been about the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's like Stranger Danger. That just sort of caught fire. I think it just really preys on people's fears.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course.
So he contacted police on more than one occasion, and he did the classic ransom note magazine cutout letter style. Let's see, the number of people who are wrongly convicted.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting list.
Right.
The first one was Stefano Mele. For whatever reason, he confessed to killing Loci and her lover Antonio Lobianco when pressed by police, but his confession was largely inaccurate compared to the evidence, and he later recanted, stating that he was merely present at the crime scene and the real killer was a man named Salvatore Vinci. Nevertheless, he was convicted based off of a strong motive as well as a chemical test proving he had fired a gun on the night of the murders. He was sentenced to 14 years in light of aggravating circumstances and was only cleared in 1989 along with all other Sardinian suspects. So he spent 14 years in jail.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a really long time.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if over there, like here, if you're wrongfully convicted, if you get a settlement. Uh-huh. Or if they're just like, oops, sorry, here's some spaghetti, have a great day.
What happened to the guy that he accused? Like the when he said, oh, I was there, but this guy actually
But it was actually
it.
Salvatore?
Yeah.
I don't know, it doesn't say.
Yeah.
The second and more infamous man to be wrongfully convicted was Pietro... P-A-C-C-I-A-N-E. Pacani?
Yeah.
Okay. Pacani's residence was searched, yielding a buried .22 caliber bullet. Another article, though, said the bullet had never been fired.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, that doesn't really seem particularly compelling if it's not been fired, because if there was that rod that was defective that left the mark on the bullet,
mm-hmm.
like a .22 caliber bullet, seems like a lot of people would have those. That doesn't really say much to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, and there were some German household products suspected of having belonged to some of the victims because some of those people were tourists.
Yeah, right.
This combined with the fact that
Pietro? Oh.
Pacani? Maybe. Had stabbed a man to death in 1951 prior to raping his girlfriend next to the corpse.
Oh.
Oh. So he was a great guy.
Right.
As the fact that Pacani was known to have a dangerously short temper led authorities to arrest him, he was tried and convicted in a televised trial in 1994.
Hmm.
This conviction, which was subjected to an automatic appeal, was overturned in 96, leading to his release from prison. Police, having been humiliated by this outcome, recruited a village idiot as well as a prostitute and a pimp to testify against him to attempt to reconvict him in another trial. This trial, however, did not take place because he died of a heart attack in 1998.
That's bizarre. All of those words that you said are that's crazy. A village idiot?
Yeah, so his conviction was subjected to an automatic appeal. That's kind of weird, right?
Yeah.
And then was overturned in 96. So he gets released from prison. So he spends 2 years in prison. And then the police, like, their ego just can't handle it.
Yeah, I think you said they were humiliated.
Like, yeah, it says having been humiliated. So it's such a huge blow to their ego. They have to round up fake witnesses to testify.
Yeah.
That seems like a lot of work.
Yeah.
I know. I say just let that shit go. Seems really unhealthy.
A lot of paperwork.
But. No matter, because dude croaked.
Yeah.
So there were a total of 16 people who were mutilated, stabbed, and shot.
Mm-hmm.
And no one has ever been identified or convicted that it stuck.
Right.
However, a more recent article says that they think it may be, what's this guy's name? He's a real old dude now. Mm-hmm. It's going to an Italian website, so it's going to take a minute. Giampiero Vigilanti. Giampiero.
Is it G-I-A-N? I think it's pronounced John.
G-I-A-M.
Oh, M. I don't know.
And then Piero for sure. Giampiero Vigilanti. Vigilanti. So, he's 86. And he's believed to have known one of the foremen who was convicted, the Pacciani guy, or mm-hmm. Pacciani. They both lived in the village of Vicio in Mugello in 51 when Pacciani murdered his love rival after surprising him with his girlfriend. So they lived in the same town when the one dude
right.
raped his girlfriend next to the corpse of her lover. Ugh.
Right.
Shortly after the first double murder and before Vicio was accused, Vigilanti enrolled in the Foreign Legion. The pensioner is also associated with right-wing groups. Vigilanti has been questioned by Canessa various times over the last few months and driven to crimes of the scenes. I don't think that's how you say that. Scenes of the crimes. Crimes of the scenes.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so, you know, I mean, if I had to translate things into English into Italian, it'd be a hot mess, so I'm not going to criticize.
Right.
He says, I'm not scared. I am clean. I have always had four guns.
Oh, yeah, he totally did it. That sentence.
He has total duh face, like.
Duh face?
Yeah, just like this duh expression on his face. The inspectors came to me and never left. Therefore, I want to say I'm clean. So
it seems like a mistranslation.
Yeah.
But I think he did it.
It says one of the guns in his possession was the Beretta Calibro 22, the 22 caliber
mm-hmm.
Beretta. Wow, the translation, this is pretty rough. They can't find the guns. The guns cannot be found, although they are registered as normal.
Hmm.
Okay, so he registered the guns. And he says that the reason that they're missing is he was robbed and he reported it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But that doesn't.
That doesn't mean shit.
Right. He could have just staged the robbery and buried them somewhere.
He could have also never reported it.
Right.
I'm not scared. I'm clean.
Well, I'm assuming if they investigated him, that they maybe looked up the... Did they investigate him? Or is this just a theory?
This article is pretty recent. It's from July 2017.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so is it just somebody interviewing him that he's saying all this stuff?
No, it's saying that the case was reopened.
Oh, okay.
And
he's a suspect?
Yeah, he's the suspect. The original theory was put together by Vieri Adriani 30 years ago.
Oh, way to follow up on that.
Mm-hmm. Who suggested the crimes were pista nera, which means false flag, and served as distractions for magistrates and public opinion from what was happening in Italy during the strategy of tension. The strategy of tension refers to terrorist acts throughout the 70s and 80s committed by right-wing extremists, such as the Bologna bombing, which aimed to shift the blame onto communists to quell communist movements and gain support for the right-wing cause.
Hmm.
So this lawyer's theory, I guess, Oh, it says the reopened investigation also looks at this theory. So this lawyer said, I don't think this guy is really some gross monster. Mm-hmm. I think this is a distraction tactic being used by these right-wing groups
mm-hmm.
that want to take media attention away from various bombings and other things that the right-wing terrorist groups basically were doing.
Okay.
Because they were mad about communism, I guess.
I don't think that doesn't seem like...
That seems a little far-fetched.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not. Just the description of the murders, like, do not... If you're just trying to distract from, you know, something like that, a simple murder would do. Like, this was a deeply disturbed man who was taking out his frustrations on women and couples.
Agreed.
Like, I don't think that is right, the distraction theory.
I think it's a little far-fetched.
Yeah.
I think twisted humans probably a little closer to the truth.
Yeah. I mean, just your regular run-of-the-mill serial killer.
Apparently, that's not that... It's not as uncommon as we would like it to be.
Correct.
I would like there to be zero.
Right.
And there's a lot more than that.
Yep.
So this other article says... it talks about the 8 double homicides between 68 and 85. Many as they made love in their cars, shot at point blank range with the same .22 caliber Beretta gun, identifiable because of the scars it left on the bullets. Many of the victims were believed to have been killed at the moment of or just before climax, presumably.
Whoa.
Yeah. Presumably when they would have been most distracted.
Okay.
That's like some hardcore voyeurism.
Right. I know, I don't care for that.
I don't know why, that's extra creepy. All but one of the female victims was mutilated postmortem. One of the victims was stabbed 97 times. Some of the horrific detail inspired the 91 Oscar-winning film Silence of the Lambs,
mm-hmm.
which is a really great movie.
Is it?
Yeah, you've never seen it?
Mm-mm.
Disturbing comes to mind.
Right. I mean, I kind of know what it's about.
Yeah. A friend of mine's brother produced the movie.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I, like, producers are the financial sponsors, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so he wasn't, like, directing creative content necessarily.
No, not necessarily. I think they have a little bit of say because they are kind of, like, holding the money over everybody's head. But, yeah, he wouldn't be the director.
I met him in person once, mm-hmm. and he was super... goofy.
Interesting.
Yeah. It wasn't really what I was expecting, considering how serious Silence of the Lambs is.
Right.
Yeah, because it's Silence of the Lambs, I guess, probably, depending on who you ask, they would say it's a thriller or a horror movie. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a combo.
You were going to say it's kind of a comedy. I was going to be like, whoa.
No, definitely not a comedy.
Uh-huh.
I find it watchable, which to me makes it more of a thriller. Because typically things that are just straight up horror, I can't tolerate.
Right.
I don't like getting snuck up on.
I mean.
I don't like things that are just gory to be gory.
Yeah. I think I could probably watch it. I mean, I have a hard time with movies that have bad guys that are like ethereal, such as ghosts or No, basically just ghosts. I like monster movies because monsters sort of exist in our reality. So hypothetically, I could take them down somehow. But like ghosts don't operate within our realm of existence. So
what about the movie Ghost? What about a sexy ghost?
Oh, I'd probably watch that. I've never seen it. I am interested. It's
real dumb.
Really?
I've
heard mixed things about it.
I don't find it watchable. But you also know how I feel about most ghost things, in spite of the fact that I apparently lived with a ghost.
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah, as a skeptic, you have had more ghost experiences than I have. And I go on all these ghost tours and things. I think they know how desperately I want to see them.
Is it kind of like when you want to pet a cute animal and they won't get near you?
Uh-huh.
And the people who don't like cats, the cats are like all over them.
Like my niece, I'm like sitting in the corner watching her being like so desperate to like play with her and talk to her. And she can smell it on me.
Do you think that's what it is? Yeah, because even though like all these people are like, yeah, I totally saw that ghost. I'm like, yeah, but still, I don't know. I mean, maybe there's some... You know, I mean, we did sort of plant the seed for each other.
Yeah.
To some extent. Mm. But they're the one roommate saying people saw her at parties all the time. They wouldn't have known. There was something decidedly creepy about that front stairwell.
Mm-hmm.
There was a definite eerie feel to parts of that building. And the one corner of the basement being like 20 to 30 degrees colder for no gosh darn reason. Was really eerie and the weird indent. Anyway, okay, back to that another day. So, Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, yeah.
And fun fact. So, he also produced Married to the Mob. Did you ever see that?
Mm-mm.
There was a huge, we lived in like a 6-family apartment building.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the props in the movie was this big, giant chicken, like a one of the characters owned like Kentucky Fried Chicken kind of place.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a giant chicken. I think the face was cut out, or like there was something where you could move it so you could stick your face through the hole to, like a peephole.
Mm-hmm.
That was in the basement of our apartment building for like forever. It's like random chicken prop.
That's funny.
Yeah. Anyway, that was a creepy basement too, but I know of no ghosts, but I will ask her just in case.
Okay.
As far as I know, there was just a weird chicken prop. Right. So let's see. Oops.
It's not like you got angry at your computer.
I did. I like rage clicked. Okay. There was another killing of a sex worker, the last name Zemir, who was one of a string of victims who'd been tied up, tortured, and left for dead under similar circumstances in the foothills outside of Florence in recent years. What makes Zemir's murder doubly eerie is that her lifeless body was found in the same area where Florence's most notorious unsolved mysteries, the Monster Florence serial killings, played out. So this article was May 9th, 2014.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a brief period of time where there was some concern that maybe the murderer was active again.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a string of murders. Maybe they weren't calling him serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
Or serial murders yet. And it was primarily sex workers who were killed and left in a similar area.
Mm-hmm.
It says 6 or 7 sex workers, have been killed nearby in the last decade. This Lorenzo Bacosi says he's not ruling it out, but wasn't ready to like say, yeah, it's definitely the Monster of Florence.
Mm-hmm.
Ellie Bartoline, another sex worker, survived a similar attack, She told police that a maniacal client, around 50 or 60 years old, with a hunched back, a limp, and very little hair, had asked her to take part in an erotic sex game for a few euro. Why can't I talk? Euro. But instead, he taped her hands to the same barrier and tortured her, leaving her for dead. She survived the incident, but is still undergoing physical therapy to recover from several reconstructive surgeries after being brutally sodomized with a broomstick. Zamir was also sodomized, according to Bokosi, but the weapon has not been yet found. Bartoline was saved when a local resident called the police, who arrived and scared off the attacker. And at the point of the writing of this article, nobody had been arrested yet.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't think that...
It doesn't really sound like the same guy.
No, it just has sort of rekindled the fear of the return.
Right.
I mean, 50... So if that guy, the one who attacked the sex worker who survived, was the same person, the age isn't right.
Yeah.
You know, if it's, I don't know what the status of prostitution is in Italy, if it's legal or not.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think so.
I wouldn't think so.
Not, I think if you have legal brothels.
Not a country that has Rome, you know.
Well, that's a really good point. That's true. There is the Pope there.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's probably not going to happen. Yeah, I think when you have legal brothels, your chances of having sex workers who are, like, healthy and cared for probably goes up some.
Some, yeah.
But they still, even in Amsterdam, I watched this documentary not that long ago. A lot of the sex workers who end up there, it wasn't an intentional trip necessarily.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They get lured there with promises of jobs that are things like dancer.
Yeah.
But they forget, they sort of leave off the dancer and blowjob giver.
That reminds me, I listened to a podcast called Sold in America, and it's this woman who...
I already feel disturbed.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically about human trafficking, but it's kind of eye-opening because I had a lot of preconceived notions about sex work and trafficking and stuff, and I really recommend it if that is something that you're interested in helping to fight. You should listen to Sold in America.
Did they talk about the app for hotel rooms?
No.
I'll have to look it up for our next episode. There is an app that I can't think of the name of right now. I'm going to make a note. There is an app that you can download on your phone. And if you're somebody who travels frequently, you take pictures of a handful of different angles in your room.
Oh, so they can.
And it helps them match up. Basically, people who are doing internet sex work based on the decor in the room.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm in a Holiday Inn in St. Louis by the airport.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, most hotels have, you know, a limit to the range and types of decor. But because some of them are franchised, it can vary.
Right.
When I worked at the Holiday Inn... The owner of the Holiday Inn I worked at was a very fashionable gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
And we had really great looking suits for the front desk.
Hmm.
They were from a catalog of Holiday Inn uniforms.
Uh-huh.
But they were probably the most expensive ones that you could get, or close to it.
Yeah.
I didn't mind putting on my suit because I was like, I feel fancy. And they dry cleaned them for free.
Wow.
So I never had to wash clothes for work.
Yeah.
I did have to be at work at 6 o'clock in the morning. That sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because people had to check out by 8.
Yeah.
But I can still do the Holiday Inn Southwest Viking. How may I direct your call? And we had a sex worker who visited the hotel pretty regularly. I was fairly certain she was doing it of her own free will, so I didn't have any, I don't have any moral objections if that's what somebody wants to do. Yeah.
Same.
I just want them to really want to do it, to not be coerced into doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very difficult from everything that I have read and studied. It's very difficult to separate those two worlds. The world of sex work and the world of trafficking.
Yeah. It's
hard to keep them separate and to not have be supporting the trafficked work in some way.
Yeah. That's what this podcast kind of explores as well.
Yeah. Cause I mean, it's not what I want to do, but.
Right.
I mean, if you want to, okay. As long as you are psychologically well and are healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean.
You do you.
I can think of worse things to do. Yeah. But yeah. So that there was a whole the sort of wrap up on this story is that real old guy, the right winger, is probably the monster, but now he's so ancient. I don't know, though, with him and his like major spray of bullets into the car, he could probably still do the same thing because he was doing everything when they were dead. But it does sound like from the years he was most active, it was probably when he was fairly young.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe what they say, the FBI said he was probably 40 to 45.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, so young enough and fit enough to be able to take on another adult man if he needed to.
Yeah.
I think the theories that I looked up where they think that maybe it was part of some sort of group seem a bit weak.
Yeah.
I think it is probably isolated to one person. But I couldn't find anything yet, at least, that had a resolution to it.
Yeah.
So.
Do you have anything lighthearted to end the show on?
Well, I'm going to look up that hotel app. So, well, here's something funny. Whenever I worked at the hotel, I would often speak to customers and need to say something about the entire hotel. But what would actually come out of my mouth was hotel. So I would try and say that's available throughout the whole hotel. Oh, except it came out the hotel. And my best day of work ever was when the Missouri Council for the Blind came and everybody had all their dogs. I wasn't allowed to pet any of them because they were working.
Yeah.
Hotel work is really interesting.
Yeah.
I liked working the front desk. Anyway, so next time you're going to talk about scary things that live inside the ocean, which is
sure, let's do it.
Everything.
Right.
Anytime I go visit my brother and we go out on the boat and like scuba or go swimming or whatever, I'd be like, oh, look, a barracuda. Oh, look, a shark. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm getting the fuck back in the boat is what I'm doing
right
now. Like, I'll tolerate it for a little while. But then I'm like, it's like, it's just a nurse shark. I'm like, it's a fucking shark. I don't care what kind of shark it is. Mm-hmm. It's a shark and it has a lot more teeth than me.
My mom, when we were snorkeling once somewhere, I forget where, she said she looked over and then there was like a barracuda, like, I don't know, 5 feet away from her. She turned to like get my dad's attention or my attention, and when she turned back it was gone. It's like, that's terrifying.
Oh yeah, well, I don't think barracudas aren't particularly scary looking,
but they have like real sharp teeth and they're real fast,
really weird teeth.
Yeah,
they like need braces bad.
They're scary.
So
thank you, Brandon Lee Chilko, for our intro and outro music. If you have any stories about barracudas, tweet us at Creepy Club Pod. Or you can email us at creepyclubpodcast@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/creepyclubpodcast. You can follow us on Instagram at creepyclubpodcast. You can follow me at creepyclubrissa. You can follow Heidi at creepyclubheidi. If you want to read our show notes, they are at creepyclubpodcast.com. We would love it if you would rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes and whatever podcast catcher you like. So that's all. That's all she wrote. So thanks for listening, and we hope you join us next time. Meeting adjourned.